And we're live for week two's Not Just a Game podcast with your hosts, Zach Simony, Jabara Harris, and Joe Lopat. We'd like to welcome back Joe Lopat from his extended hiatus of 10
months. Where you at last week, Joe?
Thank you,
Zach. I wasn't invited last week.
He's on suspension.
You guys are desperate for ratings.
No. Joe's into the teaching occupation nowadays. Tell us how that's been going.
Good. Really good. Kids aren't as smart as they once were.
As they once were, what would you say is the downfall?
Everything. They're not disciplined.
Are they playing as many video games as we
see
our friends?
Probably. They depend on technology too much.
Do they have cell phones? Is that allowed?
Cell phones, iPods, iPads, laptops.
Is that allowed in the classroom?
No.
No iPads?
And it's got to be a joke. It's got to be a joke. Well, week one went real well. We saw some players come out of nowhere that put up some performance we wouldn't have expected.
And then Hawks put up some nice performances.
That's right. Highland alums. Speaking of Ryan Fitzpatrick, we talked about him last year as a waiver wire addition, and you recommended not picking him up. Have you changed your mindset yet?
Oh, definitely. I said pick him up, but as a backup, not as a starter.
As a backup. Do you still think he's a backup?
It depends week to week. He's more of a week to week quarterback. If he's versus a bad defense, he's a good play because he's going to put up nice numbers. But they don't have enough weapons to compete against, you know, the Baltimores and the Pittsburghs and anybody who's relevant.
The Jets twice?
Yeah.
The thing with Ryan is he never really has too many yards, but he can throw the touchdown passes.
Yeah,
last year he only had two games where he threw for multiple touchdowns. So that's the thing with him. So if he goes off like he did with four touchdown passes, yeah, he can be a backup. But
on that Chiefs offense, I mean, that was a wreck. Matt Castle completed, 22 passes for 119 yards?
Not as bad as Zach Simony's boy, Donovan McNabb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don McNabb.
What do you have, four completions, 40 yards?
He's a veteran these days.
Seven for 38.
Rex Grossman's better than him.
He's moved past his prime. There's no doubt about that.
Twilights.
But let's talk about some of these young guys that came and did well for quarterback. And Cam Newton and your boy that you love to hate, Chad Henne. Career days.
I still hate them both.
Yeah, career days.
Chad Henne. I think Newman's defense is so old and slow. It showed it against Miami. I mean, they couldn't cover much of anything, and guys were just open all day. Devon Bess was open left and right.
Devon Bess might be one of the best slot receivers in the NFL.
He is a good slot receiver, but if you're New England, you're supposed to be an elite defense year in, year out. There's not that anymore.
12-1 prop on him.
But Chad Henne in the red zone. Damn, he was horrible in the red zone.
Yeah, that's what came back and bit him. But you don't think Chad Henne is going to be consistent this year?
Hell no.
Not at all.
No?
Not at all.
Might be the worst quarterback in the league.
No.
Right above Andy Dalton.
See his red zone decision making? We have Brandon Marshall. Throw him a few fades. I don't know what they're doing.
It's hard to get him in there when you're down in the goal line, but you can't discount 60 yards rushing with a rushing touchdown, 400-something yards passing.
It's called career game. He had it. He's in week one.
Beat Michael Vick in rushing.
Yeah, that won't happen again.
Prop bet on that. Jeez. So what about Cam Newton? Now, I was watching. This is one of the games I was able to watch the majority of. And he did make some good throws, but I'd have to say the Cardinals left the receivers and tight ends wide open.
He stared down the same. He stared down. He picked one guy, stared him down.
He's a rookie quarterback. They're going to do that. But he showed surprisingly good accuracy. But the Cardinals, you know, they didn't play any coverage.
Yeah, I had a wide open guy running down the field.
But the Cardinals brought the house pretty much every play. It was consistent blitz after blitz. So the coverage wasn't that hard to read, but I mean, he has potential. I mean, he showed some good potential in that game.
So for people that are...
I wouldn't go grab him and starting him. That would just be a mistake. You're the wizard of the moment if you do that.
Do you think he deserves to be picked up?
No.
Deep leagues? How deep of a league? 12-team, 14-team?
Yeah, 12-14. I mean, you can grab him and hold on to him. If he gets hot and stays hot, then you'd be dumb not to. But
name one rookie quarterback that's put up good numbers.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't. Ben Roethlisberger is the last one to have decent, to be consistent. So they just don't. So
speaking of Ben, his 5 turnovers in the first game, fumbling, throwing interceptions.
I'm going to go on a rant here. Yahoo needs to change their format. I have Baltimore's defense. They get, 7 turnovers?
Mm-hmm.
They hold them to 7 points, or is it 5 or 7 turnovers?
5.
They hold them to 7 points. They get, 4 sacks? And I only get 22 points for the week?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, the thing now with those is it's a lot about return specialist getting touchdowns off kickoffs and punts and stuff like that. That's what helped you out as a
team. You're robbed on that. To go back on that point, you're definitely robbed.
That's yeah. Why am I only getting 22 points with the Ravens
defense?
You didn't
get any sacks? That's like 2 points a sack.
Yeah, but still.
For 7 points alone.
Who sets that? The commissioner? Or is that Yahoo's standard defense?
It depends. If you got a commissioner that likes to customize it. But that should be more points, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're robbed on that one.
Well, let's end the Cam Newton discussion. So you're saying, what do you think his weekly averages will be?
Like around 14. They're going to run the ball more. I mean, the Cardinals showed zero coverage a lot. So you got to check out runs. And then Steve Smith and those tight ends got open a lot.
Steve Smith has his first appearance in 2 years, hasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, when you get DeLome and...
No, we forgot about him.
We were starting quarterback.
I had him last year and I was mad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the quarterbacks were atrocious once they got rid of Jake DeLome.
Even he was bad.
Jake DeLome, where is he these days?
He wasn't out of Carolina last year.
No, year before he was.
Yeah.
But
where is he these days?
Collecting money from Cleveland still? Or?
I thought I saw him selling used cars.
Jake DeLome.
With that money he got from Cleveland, start it up.
So I would say, yeah, Cam Newton, you don't really want to rush and picking him up unless you're desperate for a backup because there are bad quarterbacks throughout the league. But I would say Cam Newton, like, average maybe 12 to 15
points. Good for a rookie, I wouldn't throw him out there yet.
12 to 15 points a week, exactly. But then you got to remember he's probably going to have a couple of bad games where he throws two or three interceptions, which is going to bring down those rushing yards and offset that. So Cam Newton, let's give it another game or two before we pick him up, especially with this matchup this week against Green Bay.
What about Sam Bradford?
Sam Bradford?
Cleared to play as of today.
Yeah. What is his numbness?
Numbness in the finger.
I mean, for people like me that have him as their backup quarterback.
That's good to rotate out.
Are you going to panic button him and get
rid
of him?
Rotate him out. Who's the options out there?
Fitzpatrick Grossman.
I would probably take Fitzpatrick over Sam Bradford.
I would take Grossman ahead of.
I would.
Grossman, really?
He's
got a better running game.
Grossman will go back to Rex in about three games. He does this every year.
Until he does.
He didn't do that bad last year.
So he found confidence towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
When he got that job. And, you know, sometimes it just takes that new role as a veteran.
We'll see.
As we saw with Kyle Orton.
Too much.
That's what we saw with Kyle Orton. Do you think with a chance with Tim Tebow, when Kyle Orton was self-destructing, how long do you think that's going to last before they
weren't they chanting Tebow?
Yeah, the fans
before they yank him out of there.
I think they when the season would have to be over, like, they're 3-7, then they were putting Tebow, but as long as there's still a chance, he gives you the best chance to win. I feel he does.
Besides Brandon Lloyd, they have nothing on offense.
Yeah,
they couldn't run the ball
in the red. Notre Moreno's not that good. He was really good in Georgia. They thought they were getting something there.
And they got the 35-year-old McGahee.
Who's really more of a goal line running back at this stage in his career. And Notre Moreno just...
They've got better receivers than you think. Eddie Royal showed some more promise last year.
His rookie year, though, he had 90 catches.
Yeah. He fell off his second year.
And why couldn't they move the ball against Oakland?
Oakland's improved. They were throwing
Oakland's
some
defense is
blitzes.
Good, but there's not that many weapons. Also, Denver's team can't stop their run. So how much are they going to be on the field as an offense?
Yeah.
You're going to be behind a lot, I feel.
Do you think Eric Decker is worth picking up as a sleeper wide receiver?
Not quite
off the waiver wire.
Not keep an eye on him. Not quite yet. As far as return game, he did a great job at that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the receiver right now, he's just really catching. He's more right now of a possession guy. But he's also a young receiver.
Okay. So let's go into some injury notes on the week. Steven Jackson out probably 2 to 3 weeks. Do you think Cadillac Williams can fill in as good as he did in week one?
You're going to join him on the injury list in about...
Yeah, exactly. Give it about 2 weeks.
That whole team's self-destructing with injuries, it looks like. But
Cadillac had decent numbers against the Eagles, but who have a horrible linebacking core.
Yeah.
Are there any bright spots on the Rams?
Not right now. He can't really... That's
where was Mike Sims Walker at on Sunday?
He did the typical Sims Walker. He'll show up about four times a year. The years you have him, the weeks you bench him, he'll show up. Yeah. And the weeks you play them, you won't. So typical Mike Sims Walker.
Well, yeah, we kind of like Williams. Anyone that's going to warrant carries, you're going to want to, if he's on a waiver wire, you want to pick him up. This is just there's not many running backs that are going to get 20 carries a week.
If you kind of did like I did and got your running backs a little late, like in the mid rounds,
let's hear these running backs that you have.
Let's hear them.
I have Marshawn Lynch.
Oh!
Starting?
Yeah.
Oh!
You got me a whole 7 points.
Tim Hightower.
Not that bad. And LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, that is bad. 15 yards rushing week one.
That's all he had?
That's all I have on my teams. However, Vic saved me by getting 27 points.
How many teams are in this league?
About 10.
Oh, you learned your lesson drafting running backs.
I know. There's so many good reasons. I had to take Vic first.
Why?
I wanted to. He got me 27 points, so.
So why do you think Tampa Bay shifted from a rushing team to passing with Josh Freeman?
Because they're drinking the Josh Freeman Kool-Aid.
I think Detroit's defense came out, punched him in the mouth, and I knew their game plan was kind of wrecked.
They ran the ball less than 10 times.
Yeah, they did. That Detroit D-line was just in the backfield all game.
So they abandoned, those guys. They abandoned it right away, huh?
Which I thought was too early. You got to at least let that play out. But the fact that Matt Stafford and that offense came out hot right around second quarter, they probably panicked a little too early and got rid of that running game,
okay,
which killed me.
Okay, back to the hot topic of last week with the three tandem backfield with Houston. Now one shuffling out. Derek Ward's injured now. Aaron Foster declared today that he will start Sunday. So do you think Ben Tate's still going to get an X amount of carries and be a fantasy factor?
Negative.
Well, I have Ben Tate along with Marshawn Lynch and those guys.
Oh, his backup off the bench is Ben Tate.
Yeah, I know.
A third stringer. Good
but
job.
But he got me 15 points last week. I think the first couple games Aaron Foster's back with that hamstring, he'll get some play because you can't rush that hamstring. Mm-hmm. When you're coming back from a hamstring, you don't have that burst yet.
Yeah.
So Aaron Foster won't have that home run speed. And his hamstring should get tired pretty early on. So carries wise, he'll be limited. So for another week or two, Ben Tate, you can play him. I mean, at least I will be. So see how that goes.
All right. Let's shift to the topic. We talked about Joe's new work life. Let's talk about Jabbar doing the teaching for students.
Coaching
for students. How's that going with the sixth grader and seventh graders' techniques?
Well, I got my team, and we start up Tuesday. I'll be coaching on defense. Gonna kind of teach them how to do drops and some coverages a little bit, the basic stuff. Cause they're junior high kids. I don't know much they can take yet.
So when you went to the training at the Tempe High School, tell me some of the flaws you saw in the coaches and in the players.
Well, I mean, first of all, they didn't have that many bodies. I guess a lot of kids through the years have quit, or I don't know if they're running them off or whatever. But a lot of bad form. Like their kids had a lot of bad form as far as tackling techniques and how to engage linemen with your linebacker so you can keeping outside arm free. Techniques, like a lot of small stuff that helps you in the game, helps you in games a lot. They're just missing that. There's a lot of just going around and just playing football practice instead of learning details and how to do things.
Okay. So you're going to be correcting that before they get to high school.
Hopefully, yeah.
All right, here. Shifting back to some of the bad performances of the weekend. Donovan McNabb and Chris Johnson, some of the guys that 2 or 3 years ago were in the top echelon of their positions, and Donovan McNabb was top 10 fantasy quarterback for years. Now he's on his third new team in 3 years.
Yeah, that was in 98 and he was a top 10 quarterback.
Third new team in 3 years when 2 years ago he was throwing bombs at DeSean Jackson.
Well, both those guys right now are suffering from lack of talent around them. I mean, McNabb has lost Sidney Rice. I mean, pretty sure he thought he was going to Minnesota. He's going to throw to Sidney Rice, who's a Pro Bowl receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has Percy Harvin, who's more of a slot guy.
Sidney Rice stinks.
But he's great catching balls in the red zone with that size. But Chris Johnson, that team is around him is bad. And plus, he missed the entire mini training camp.
Do you think he'll be able to recover, or do you think he's borderline top 10 now? Or?
He's a talent, so he's going to put up. End of the year, his number's going to look like probably like last year's.
So it'll still be a top 10 fantasy back.
Still, I mean, he still put about 1,400 yards rushing, but it's not what you expect. I mean, you're picking him in the first round.
It's not even 100 yards a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not what you expect when you're drafting him. Like, where he's drafted at, the production's not going to match what you're getting out of him. You're getting late second round running back value out of him.
Do you think going to a pocket passer from a shifty Vince Young is going to affect him?
Well, playing Vince Young, it kept the backside contained from chasing him down or chasing the plays. But Vince Young, the backside end and linebacker, kind of had to keep an eye on him from booting. And that helped Vince Young, and also it helped him.
Yeah.
Because Vince Young had vanilla coverages to read, and Chris Johnson didn't have to worry about the backside linebacker just overflowing and pursuing the play down every play.
Okay. Another running back that's disappointing for the third straight year, that continues to get drafted highly, your favorite, Sean Green, shows up for the playoffs, but not for the regular season.
Is he still on the Jets?
A.K.A.
Oh, yeah, I run him about 10 times a game.
A.K.A. Robert Ory, Sean Green. So what do you think is the issue with Sean Green when it comes to the regular season?
Yeah.
You think he comes into season not shape, and then he's able to...
He plays himself into shape by the end of the year, so it looks like. Because you watch him play off the way he runs over guys, and then now he just gets tackled. Like, second, first guy brings him down.
Got a 35-year-old LT starting over him.
Man.
Getting half the workload.
More than half.
Hey, more than half, yeah.
Do you think he's going to be able to correct it earlier in the year than it's, or is it going to take him half the year again?
It's really his work habit. I mean, if he comes in, not really the same back early in the year as he is late in the year.
How do you explain something like that? Like, then you have a running back like Cedric Benson who gets drafted.
He's late drunk
every
DUIs.
Year.
DUIs.
Drunk DUIs. Sexual molestation, sexual harassment.
Fighting roommates.
He spent the whole summer in prison.
They let him go to jail right before the season, and he comes back.
Because he plays in the Bengals. That's...
You got 120
he
yards.
Still got a grip. I couldn't believe that.
120 yards with a touchdown out of nowhere. How does that happen?
How does he stay in shape in prison, but Chris Johnson couldn't stay in shape during his lockout?
Especially chased around by a man in prison, so you got to make sure you kept that good running form.
Oh, man. It's stuff that mind boggles you.
Yeah, Cedric Benson is, I think it's more just mental. Like, when he was on the Bears, he would.
The guy
he had,
Bruce Gradkowski under center, and he still got 100 and whatever yards.
Like, when he wants to, I mean, he's taking top five overall in the draft because for a reason. He has the talent to be elite.
And there's just nobody that's going to carry from him. It's not a running back committee in Cincinnati.
Bernard, whatever.
Scott.
Yeah, the backup. So.
He's getting about 25 carries a game. All right, let's shift into our sleeper starters for the week two. Jabbar Harris, started off with a couple quarterbacks that you have on your list.
To start, go with Matt Stafford.
That is one of mine as well, so we're in agreement there.
Yeah, it helps you have Calvin Johnson, but he's also making the good reads. He's got all the tools you look for in the quarterback, big arm, the smarts, and he's accurate.
And he's loaded with weapons. Yeah. I mean, analyze the Detroit's weapons, even with Brandon Pettigrew, their receivers.
Nick Brosson's a solid receiver.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's going to have a good game. Of course, he's playing against Kansas City, who just got lit up.
Ryan Fitzpatrick with four TDs.
Yeah. So that's always a favorable matchup. And then I like Rex Grossman going against the Cardinals.
Wow.
The Arizona secondary is atrocious. They got too many young guys out there. Not enough veteran leadership. I just see him having another great game and getting the team off to a good start. Great fantasy sleeper for the week, Rex Grossman. Joe, who do you have?
I have to agree with Grossman. And what about Colt McCoy going up against the Colts?
Yeah.
Also, the Colts are missing two of the three linebackers. Sims is out, so is Brackett.
So you think Peyton Hillis will finally be able to rush the ball?
Oh, he's going to run for about 100 this week. And Colt McCoy, Colts don't blitz much anyway.
Yeah.
So as long as you keep Freeney and Mathis contained, which... The fact that their offense on the Colts 3-and-outs all game, you put an undersized defense on the field the entire game, they're going to wear down fast.
Do you think the Colts have the issue that the Patriots had 2 years ago where they just aged too quickly? Now they're going to have to reshuffle.
I think the Colts are just small in defense. So by having someone pay Manning, he would take long drives so that way they can rest up mm-hmm. so they can feel they're fresh. Mm-hmm. Where Kerry Collins is going to 3-and-out, they're back on the field series after series.
Well, why couldn't David Garrard score 2 touchdowns on them?
Well, when they're refreshed,
We won't talk about that one.
Yeah, all right, Colt McCoy have a bounce back game. We had two good quarters last week, and the fourth quarter came, started raining, and he just
couldn't do
took
it.
A 180.
Small hands, couldn't throw it in the rain. All right, running backs. I'll start this segment off, or this position off. I like James Starks going against Carolina. Rumors he's going to get more carries because he did outdo Ryan Grant. And he looked really good. I was surprised he was able to break tackles. He was turning his legs. Getting the extra yardage that you want to see. And I'm going to go with Reggie Bush again this week against Houston. I don't think Miami's going to be able to rush the ball or throw the ball as effectively, so they're going to have to offset it by getting some more screen throws to Reggie Bush, utilizing him a little bit more because he is their number one offensive weapon.
I like Matt Forte from Chicago because he's a do-it-all back. He's right now, early in the season, last couple of years, the first 10 weeks of the season, he's put up great numbers.
Yeah.
And, well, it's only week two, so I expect no different. They're going to throw the ball to him at least 6-7 times, and he'll get about 15, 20 carries.
The dink and dump, Jake Cutler. Yeah.
And those screen games, the way the screen was looking for the Bears last week, they keep that up. It was amazing. Also, New Orleans defense, I think, is a little overrated. Will Smith still was suspended for that Star Caps.
Yeah.
So
the problem that I have with that is I think the New Orleans defense, it's a good matchup for them against Chicago just because they can't stretch the field. They'll try to once in a while with Devin Hester, but for the most part of the game, they're not getting past the 15 yards in their throws. The receivers aren't that good. They still haven't upgraded that.
No, it's the offensive line that they haven't upgraded. So
when they do those same blitzes they were throwing at Aaron Rodgers, so they did get a lot of pressure on him. They did ding him up, but Aaron Rodgers was able to make precision throws, just something that Jay Cutler can't do.
You do it sometimes.
He can't do. So,
however, if you're blitzing a lot, which New Orleans
he looked pretty good against Atlanta.
Yeah, he was able to do the dink and dump, which worked.
Well, New Orleans blitzed a lot, so watch for a lot of screens this week to Devin Hester and Matt Forte and even to Knox. That's how you combat that over blitzing. Norville's blitzing team is by throwing screens on them.
Joe, who do you like at running back?
My sleeper? Might have to go. I'm not going to go with chalk like Jabbar always does. I think Matt Forte and I think Tim Hightower against the Cardinals might have a nice week.
You think Grossman and Tim Hightower are going to do well?
Yeah, man. He'll be running with a purpose against his old team.
Oh, yeah.
They cut him.
Speaking of old team, how about Vic going against his old Falcons this week?
Depends on how offensive line.
I'm surprised Jabbar didn't put that in the quarterback sleeper segment.
The Sunday night game.
Might be worries me about me. The thing worries about me with the Falcons, I mean with the Eagles, is that offensive line is really bad. I mean, it looks like half the time they're calling screens against the Rams when they weren't. That's how fast the guys are getting back there. CJ Ayu actually was making plays, and he has made plays his whole career.
Oh, man.
He's back there like he was Mario Williams. So, I mean, they can't block CJ Ayu. I don't know what to do about John Abraham.
You really don't know how Mike Vick's
I think he can be productive, but I don't know. I mean, the stats, I don't think will quite be there.
And you drafted him in what round?
My first pick. The stats?
Oh!
That's going to be 20 points. It is not like a 30-point game.
Okay. Wide receivers. I've got Darius Heyward-Bey. I like what he showed on Monday night. Looks like he's finally going to show some of the value of the first-round pick. They're going against the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to be able to stretch the field. They've got speedsters. And this will be the year that's just not going to be Jacoby Ford or Chaz Sheeland's getting the production. Darius Heyward-Bey is going to be involved this year. I also like Malcolm Floyd from San Diego. He had a decent week one, didn't get a touchdown, but Phillip Rivers is throwing the ball more to him now. And I think that has a lot to do with Vincent Jackson holding out last year. He's got more of a rapport